Das hat also ich in der Sprache geschrieben, wenn wir heute im Satz sich schubes darf, zadig alef. Sagt mir mal, sutten in der Papa Paskin, that number one, in a case where one wife died during the husband's life and the second died after his death, there is still the concept of din duchen, it applies for the yorshim of the first wife, and we're not concerned that the heirs, the yorshim are going to fight. Number two, the amount paid for the second wife's ksuba is considered to be the amount left over in the estate that we need in order to apply ksuba's bin duchen. It's understandable why number two must be stated, even if number one is stated, to teach that a ksuba payment is considered to be leftover money in the estate. However, why can you just say number two? And we know that obviously paskins like number one, that ksuba bin dichron applies in this case. Mar said, if he would just say number two, we would think that he paskins like number one only when there are three wives, where two of them died in his lifetime and one died after his death. And this one who died after his death also only has a daughter who doesn't inherit. Therefore, the sons of the first two wives are in the same boat and they won't come to argue about the inheritance. However, in a simple case, like a case number one, where one wife died during the lifetime, one died after, maybe we would say that we don't apply bin duchen, and therefore, so that there should be no arguing. So therefore, he has to say, maybe he has to pass like that, but he has to pass like both cases. Zok the Mishnah, if a man had two wives and they both predeceased him, and each of the wife's sons is demanding their mother's ksuba has been in dichrin, but there's only enough money to pay for the ksubas and would leave nothing left over in the estate if they each get the ksuba of their mother. They don't get the ksuba of the mother in this case, and they would divide the estate equally. If after paying the ksubas there would be a dinner remaining in the estate, then each of the sons gets the mother's ksuba. If one of the sons says he'll overvalue the property of the estate so that the ksubas can be paid and the estate will still be left with the dinner, we don't listen to him. Rather, we have the estate valued in Bezdin. If the estate has assets coming to it in the future, meaning the father of the man who died has assets which will pass to the son's estate when the father dies, they are not considered to be currently in the estate for purposes of deciding whether there's a dinner left over. If Shimon says, in order to apply bin dichrin, there must be a dinner of real property, meaning land, left over in the estate after the payment of the ksubas. Zakhtamar Bryce explains the case of the Mishnah. If the ksuba of the first wife was 1,000 and the ksuba of the second wife was 500, if there's still a dinner left over in the estate, each woman's sons takes the amount of her ksuba and the remainder of the estate is then divided equally. Zakhtamar, if at the time of death the estate has a value to pay the ksubas and had a dinner left over and then the estate depreciated, it's clear that bin dichrin would still be applied because they each have acquired their share at the time of the death. What's halacha if at the time of the death there wasn't enough value to have a dinner left over, but then the estate appreciated to the point that there is enough value? So the Mara says such a case was brought to Rav Amram and he said that ksubas bin dichrin will be applied. They then went to Rav Nachman and said it will not be applied. The Mara says it was a person who was owed 1,000 zuz and he owned two mansions. He sold each of them for 500 zuz to the same buyer. The creditor went and took one of the mansions away from the buyer for his debt. He wanted to take the second one away as well to total 1,000. The buyer told him, if you can accept the one that you already took as payment for your entire 1,000 zuz loan, then you can keep the one that you have. If you're not going to do that, I'm going to take 1,000 zuz, give it back to you in cash, and take back the first mansion from you as well. Rabbi Bachama thought to say that this is like the case in our Mishnah, where the Yorshim want to inflate the value of the estate to allow for application of the Duchen. And just as in that case, we don't allow him to do so, the Chayr, in this case, we shouldn't allow the buyer to do so either. Rava said, our Mishnah, the overinflation causes a loss to the other Yorshim. In this case, the creditor will still end up with 1,000 zuz that he's owed if he doesn't agree. So therefore, it will be allowed in our case because there is no loss that's going to happen. Fekmar, if the creditor keeps the one mansion in full settlement of 1,000 debt, when the buyer sues his seller for payment of the mansion that he lost, can he only sue for 500? Can he sue for the full 1,000? Because he got rid of the 1,000 debt for him. So Rav Inna said he can sue for the full 1,000. Rav Avir said he can only sue for the 500. The Gemara passes like a Rav Avir, he can only sue for the 500. The Gemara brings a similar case, only here there were two small fields worth 50 zuz each. It was Rav Yosef who said what Rav Yachama said, and it was Abaya who said what Rav said above. But the Psak comes out in the same way. Zakhtamar, there was a person who owed 100 zuz and passed away. He left over a small field worth 50 zuz. The creditor attempted to collect the field. The Yarshim went and gave him 50 zuz in kish instead of the field and told him to go away from the field. The creditor took the money and then he attempted to collect the field for the remaining 50 zuz of the debt. Abaya told them, there's mitzvah, priyas b'chayiv is mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to pay back your father's debts, therefore, from the estate. Therefore, even though they did not have to give them money, because only real property is meshubah to pay off the father's debts, but doing so was a mitzvah. Now, by going after the field for the remainder, he's collecting his debt, according to Allah, and therefore he's allowed to do so. The Gemara says, if when they gave him the money, they told him that the 50 zuz is for the field, it's as if they're buying back the field from him, and at that point, he can no longer collect the field a second time, because it's as if he already collected the field and sold it back to the heirs. At this point, it's not meshubah to their father's loan, to their father's debt. Zakh Gemara, another story. A person sold the future rights that he may have in his mother's ksuba. He told the buyer that if his mother were to protest the sale becomes nullified, but the money would not have to be returned. The mother died without protesting the sale. The seller then said, as his mother's yairish, he is now protesting the sale and thereby nullifying it. Rabbi Muhammad thought to say that he's in his mother's place and therefore he can protest the sale and nullify it. Rava told him, although he agreed to nullify the sale on protest of the mother, it's clear that the buyer did not agree to nullify the sale on protest of the seller, and therefore this protest of the seller is meaningless and the money would have to be returned.